It's Friday, February 6th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, got a great show for me, and got a surprise coming. And yes, we are live, as it can be, once again from Okinawa, Japan. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Konnichiwa and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Okinawa, Japan, via the Geek News Central Portable Studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link. Of course, I want to welcome all of the listeners that are joining us via Ustream at this time. It's actually early in the mainland in Japan, or mainland United States right now. It's 1 p.m. in the afternoon here on Friday, which makes it 6 p.m. Thursday in Honolulu and then wherever you're else in the rest of the world. But I hope everyone's doing good. I'm doing great here, and lots of things going on. And actually, some good news. I am going home early. My business is wrapped up here, at least for now, with a tentative plan to come back to Japan in early March. But I'm going to be flying out on Monday. So I'll be back in Honolulu Monday evening to do the show there. So I've wrapped things up early here. I'm really excited about being able to blast out and get back home. I was hoping that I wouldn't have to stay the full 3 weeks in the beginning, and it just things seem to work out real well, and it's been a very successful trip. But I'm going to go hang out with my wife's family for the next 2 days, and then catch the first available flight that I could get out, which was Monday, so I have fun with them. But it's been wonderful being here in Okinawa, and been fun doing the show from here. This is show number 2 coming here. And for all of you that are part of the Ohana, hey, I want to, of course, thank you for being part of the family, being part of the ongoing audience members of the show. For those of you that download the show via podcast, and those of you that are not getting it yet via podcast download, make sure you subscribe to the RSS feed. Sign up for a newsletter as well. You can find that via the third column of the website at geeknewscentral.com. And again, for those of you that are new, welcome to Ohana, welcome to the family. And again, I'm originally records this show out of Honolulu from my studio there. But I've been here in Japan just about a week now. But, you know, the thing I really love about being here, and I talked about in the last show, is the food. Authentic Japanese food on a daily basis. Oh, man, it's been good. It really has. And, of course, Okinawa is almost, you know, such a huge base presence here. And there's so many Americans that some stuff is pretty Americanized, but if you get off the beaten path and go to local places that I've been introduced to over the years, you can find pretty good meals at a decent price that doesn't break the budget. But I have been saddened by some of the things I've seen here in Okinawa this time. Definitely the economy is really been impacted. Places that I used to eat at, I go to, and they're all boarded up. I just shocked. I mean, places I've ate at for 20 years are no longer in business, and floors me. I went to parked in a parking stall where I know the papa-san that runs the little parking lot, and you know, parked there for a couple bucks an hour, and I, you know, sat alone, talked to him for just a few minutes, and I walked down the alleyway where this restaurant is that I always go to, and I got to the place, and it was gone. I was disappointed, so, well, I know another place around the corner, so I went down and around the corner and up this block another way, and that place was closed, and I was just devastated. But it's given me the opportunity to find some new places here to kind of hang out, have a nice, cool beer at the end of the day, and also have some good food. Okay, one thing I do want to share with you guys is that I have had a bit of a challenge in... The bandwidth's been good, You guys can see great on Ustream, but boy, when it comes to FTP, they don't like it. They throttled it. You know, I got done with the show a Tuesday, pushed it up online, and I started the upload, and, you know, thinking it was going to take 5-6 minutes like it normally does, and I look over at the counter, it said 2 hours. That hurt me. It really did. It really hurt me bad. So I wanted to get started doing the show early today because I'm going to check out of the hotel here and head for my wife's family's home this afternoon. So I wanted to get the show knocked out. So those of you that are tuning in, I know we got some people on from Australia. I know we had one of our listeners from Israel that wanted to tune in. He's on the other side of the planet. So his time, I don't know what time of the day he's at, but we got a lot of great content for you today during the show as well. But again, if you're just checking in on Ustream, I am headed back to Hawaii on Monday, so looking forward to that. And if any of you are have been to Japan recently and have had any luck with the actual wireless devices where you can get wireless internet connectivity, please let me know, because I had non-success in getting my A2502 card from Docomo working with my PC, and that saddened me quite a bit. Luckily, the hotel here that I've been in has had good regular internet connectivity, even though at night I can tell it slows down a little bit. But if I come back in March, I want to do something different, so we will see. We'll see what we come up with, or what you can come up with me for in suggestions. All right, let me, of course, take care of a little business here. As always, this show is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. So if you're looking for a domain name, virtual dedicated server, dedicated account, whatever it may be, when you get over to GoDaddy.com and when you pick up one of those products or services, when you get to that checkout counter, use the promo code TODD, okay? TODD, that'll save you 10% on your order. And, of course, what that will also do is that we'll put some money in my pocket. Geek5, and that helps me out, keeps the light on, keeps me doing what I'm doing. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on one-year shared hosting accounts, and that's the hot one, folks. That's the one you want to use. That's the one that helps me the most. Okay, what else here? Oh, of course, GoToMeeting. Longtime sponsor here. You know, during these tough economic times, businesses of all sizes need to increase productivity and cut costs. And online meetings are a great place to start. GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, lets you meet with anyone located anywhere right from your computer so you can do more and travel less. With GoToMeeting, all you can meet service, you can hold as many meetings online as you want without paying per minute charges. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast with an S for a free trial. Hey, I do want to share with you some of the technology I've been using since I've been here. Skype has proved to be invaluable. Use it every day. My wife calls me, I call her. Kids like to use it. It's really worked out well to use Skype. The connection's been good. I've used GoToMeeting to actually meet with clients back in the United States while I've been here on travel, kind of a reverse usage of the product, which is kind of cool. And then all the other standard tools, but, you know, basically avoiding those long-distance charges. You know, with my rented cell phone that I have here, they charge me $1.26 to call the United States on it, and then if I use Skype, it's 6 cents, or actually 1.6 cents per minute, so you can talk a long time. So, really, that's basically what I've used here. Some just pretty basic tools that we've all used in the past, and the kids have enjoyed it because they can watch Dad, and so that's been kind of handy. So that's helped me out a little bit and keep in touch, and actually did a little parental counseling via the internet the other night when my wife had her hands full with a little situation. So it's worked out good. But you guys didn't dial into the show to hear me just to chat about Japan and what's going on at home. You guys also dialed in to hear about what's going on in the tech world. I found some good stuff for you today. Actually had FeedDemon running not as many hours as I normally do to get it prepped and ready for the show. But I did find some good stuff here, enough to take us through the entire hour. Over on ScienceDaily.com, I found an article on a prototype of a machine that copies itself. That copies itself. Yes, very interesting device. A University of Bath academic who oversees a global effort to develop an open-source machine that prints three-dimensional objects is celebrating after the prototype machine succeeded in making a set of its own printed parts. And I thought this was pretty cool because I know there's some services out there that will design, you know, you make a, we've covered it in some of the CES coverage, that makes a, you send them in, a, you know, basically an AutoCAD design of an object, and they actually make it for you. But this machine prints it, and it works a little bit like a printer, but rather than squirting ink onto paper, it puts down thin layers of molten plastic, which solidify, and these layers that build up to make a useful 3D object. It's called RepWrap. And this device so far has been capable of making everyday plastic goods such as door handles, sandals, coat hooks, and now the machine has also, of course, succeeded in creating some of its own 3D objects. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'll have that link up, of course, in the show notes. Of course, you get the show notes via the newsletter. If you're signed up on the newsletter, you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Over on telegraph.co.uk, the University of Edinburgh scientists there believe now, by doing an extensive survey of the sky, that up to 40,000 planets could support alien life forms. And of course, you know, when you quantify alien life forms, that could be anything from a microbe to, you know, the regular typical ET that we all would imagine. But astrophysicist Duncan Forgan created a computer gram that collated all the data on the 330 or so planets known to man and worked out what proportion would have conditions suitable for life. And the estimate took into account factors such as temperature and availability of water and minerals. And he basically applied that to all of the models of space and came up with the number 40,000. So, yeah, you know, who knows? We'll see. We'll see if we're going to continue to be alone out here, or if, you know, if they getting better at detecting where other life could come from. Hey, there's a real interesting article over in Business Week, and it's in the Tech Beat section. It's called Apple's Design Process. Now, if you are interested in learning how Apple really gets their designs down, you know, no one can contest that Apple is, you know, from packaging to the device itself, no one can contest that Apple is really king of the hill when it comes to putting together new product lines. And they've come up with some very interesting models, and they actually follow this model consistently throughout the companies. Apple designers come up with at least 10 entirely different mock-ups of a new picture, and then go down from 10 to 3 to 1. They do group meetings. They do separate where one group looks at one set of features, another group looks at another. Then they flip and they come up with the best. It's pretty amazing what they do within the internal process of coming up with designs at Apple. And it's probably a good thing, you know, if you have an organization that can support, you know, the type of teams that I'm sure they put together for their new products. This is probably a way that you can improve your productivity and your design process at the companies you work at. I think this, you know, if you look at what they've done here, is that it can extend beyond products, website designs, new feature requests, or feature designs on software products. It could really improve your performance. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. Again, it's the Apple design process and some insight. It seems a short article, but it gives you pretty good insight into what they do. Have you heard about this guy on MySpace? Of course, he made the news. I saw it here, too, on, BBC or one of the channels I was watching here locally. Maybe it may have been Fox. But a gentleman, a 22-year-old from New Jersey, who is some sort of a counselor already, befriended a teenager from Sacramento area on MySpace, and about a month later, the teen revealed in a webcam chat that he was cutting himself and intended to take his own life, and this gentleman did the right thing. He was able to basically contact authorities in the Sacramento area, and they were able to intervene and provide some assistance to the teen. So this was good, good for this gentleman to do this instead of watching, like, you know, the last death that happened where someone was going to commit suicide and people just watched and laughed over on one of the Justin TV channels. This is good that this MySpace user was paying attention. But it kind of, although the question I kind of had initially was why was a 22-year-old talking with a teenager in the first place on MySpace? That was my only little kind of, that's kind of odd. But I guess he's some sort of, you know, what it doesn't reveal in this article is that he was some sort, he was involved in a youth mentoring program. So, but it is kind of interesting that how this connection was made. But anyway, I'll have that link up in the show notes. All right, over on Astronomy Picture of the Day, the picture for 2009, February 5th. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm just completely blown away day by day by some of the images. Matter of fact, I change my desktop background so often, it drives my wife crazy. But every time she looks at it, it's wow. So I've updated my desktop background today to this new Astronomy Picture of the Day. You'll want to check it out. And if you just look at this thing for about 5 minutes, it'll blow your mind. And it's a pretty good description about what you're seeing in the image as well. All right, let me go ahead and flip here. And I had some of this stuff loaded up in Firefox. And let me switch over over to FeedDemon. There is a article on Slashdot talking about, and we've talked about it on this show already, about CNN's use of peer-to-peer. And I think this was, if you watch the presidential inauguration speech on CNN, if you streamed it live, we've already talked about that CNN was using your bandwidth in a way to use a type of peer-to-peer type of distribution of that content, so they didn't have to host all of the video distribution on their own servers. But CNN's use of a software product called Octoshape presents an incredibly abusive EULA, in other words, a user license. If you agree to the EULA, you agree that CNN can use your bandwidth and that you will pay any cost, and you also lose the right to monitor your own network traffic. You can't use information collected by your own firewall. And quoting the EULA, you may not collect any information about communication in the network, computers, or operating the software, or about other users of the software by monitoring, interdicting, or intercepting any process of the software. Octoshape recognizes that firewalls and antivirus can collect such information, but you're not allowed to review or distribute that info. Good luck enforcing that, CNN. But be aware, if you're on CNN and you are actually watching some of their hot videos of the day and so forth, they will be using peer-to-peer technology, and they'll be using your bandwidth. Now, this may not affect users in the United States yet, and we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But if you are like in New Zealand or in Australia, where bandwidth comes at a very high premium for a cost, you know, you might end up helping drive your bandwidth bill by simply streaming stuff off of CNN because of their service. So be careful out there and what you're using. I think I've got all the memory tapped out on this box here. So let me go ahead. I'm waiting for this thing to catch up. Next article up is, and I think, ladies, if you're iPhone fans, I will have a good article for you to review, and just let me know if your husband buys you, or if you would buy these particular type of earrings. I'll have them linked up in the show notes. Love to hear your comments on what you think of the product. You can send me a email at geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me if this would be a perfect Valentine gift for you. Okay. Xbox Live. Xbox Live tallies 1 million Netflix watch instant activations. In other words, folks that have been on Xbox, have an Xbox Live, who downloaded the Netflix Netflix application, have consumed over 1 million videos with over 1.5 billion minutes served. And the folks over at Netflix are very happy with the number of people on Xbox Live. They're using the streaming instant activation process. Very, very happy. And it just bodes well for these types of services. And it looks to me like the folks at Netflix are doing many things correct. And what was really making the analyst happy, and basically the people that are in watching the rating of their stock and so forth, is they think that Netflix actually under-reported the number of subscribers who've actually used the live streaming service. So that's pretty cool. And the number that they actually announced was that more than 10% of Netflix announced 9.4 million subscribers did so through their console. So pretty cool on Netflix's part. How many of you that listen to the show use a service other than Netflix and are considering switching to Netflix? I know that, of course, with the sponsors here on the show, I've had a couple of different rental accounts, I would guess you would say. I've got a Blockbuster account, and I also have a Netflix account as well. But how many of you that have a Blockbuster account or something similar are considering making the switch to Netflix based upon the number of choices you're now having and be able to consume data with that service and platform? Okay, the news out of Windows 7, that Windows 7 will have 6 different editions. So it's not going to get any simpler in picking the correct edition of Windows 7 that you're going to want. It's basically going to start with a Starter Edition, Home Edition, Basic Edition, Home Premium Edition. This has already got me confused. So let me go over this again. You'll get the Starter Edition. I guess, what is the Starter Edition? Is that for kids or something? Windows Home Basic Edition, Home Premium Edition, Windows 7 Professional Edition, Windows 7 Ultimate Edition, and Windows 7 Enterprise Edition. Why can't they just have, like, Home, Premium, and Enterprise? I don't get that. Why do you have to have 7? 7 offerings? Are you confused? I'm confused. I think we all pretty much, XP users, understand Home, Pro, Enterprise. Right? Don't get it. I really don't. But anyway, you'll have 7 choices to pick from. All right, are you a Time Warner user? Listen up here. Time Warner is expanding their metered broadband trials. Okay? So today, on a quarterly financial results conference call, Time Warner's cable COO said that the provider would be expanding its metered broadband trials beyond the city of Beaumont, Texas. He says they're going to be going out to 4 major new markets. Okay, if you're a Time Warner user, you need to immediately pick up the telephone, call Time Warner if you're a Time Warner customer, and you need to scream bloody murder. Immediately. You need to tell your friends to scream bloody murder. You need to get everyone you know, every family member, every person that you know that has, tell people at work. Because we don't know what markets are going to go out to next. But I think you're going to need to scream loud and clear very, very quickly. Or you're going to meet a situation where you're going to have a cap. Now, they're saying, though, based upon what they found out in Beaumont, Texas, that they're going to be offering some more tiered options. And so, you know, right now, 40 gigs is the cap. But if you go over that 40 gig, it's 1 gig per month. So hopefully Time Warner's going to figure out that 40 gigs wasn't quite enough. And they're not the only one. We got more news about more bandwidth caps here a little later in the show. But maybe they're going to up the amount to something a little more, I don't even want to say reasonable. Because it's not reasonable to me for them to have caps at all. but apparently they're going to create an unspecified super tier for those of us that use a lot of bandwidth. I'm sure that super tier is going to come at a considerably super price, okay? So, hey, those of you on Ustream, is the audio fine? How's the audio on Ustream? I've seen a comment on there. People are having some issues with audio. If you're not getting audio, let me know, okay? So keep your eyes peeled on this, all right? Moving on to something about spam, and this is something I found pretty interesting. There's a report out on most spam sites are tied to just 10 different registers. So, of course, with GoDaddy being a sponsor here, I want to look and see where they ranked, and I didn't see GoDaddy listed directly. But in this list, number 9 is Wild West Domains. And what Wild West Domains is the service. In other words, if you are a GoDaddy customer, or anyone, can sign up and get a Wild West Domain account, and you can become a reseller of GoDaddy services. And the Wild West Domains is number 9 on the list. So I'm going to send an email off to my contact over there and see if I can get them to comment, because up to this point, GoDaddy has been very, very hardcore on spammers. Matter of fact, when you have a server or a virtual dedicated server or shared hosting account, your email gets relayed through a proxy on their system that limits you to the number of outbound emails that can be sent. So on GoDaddy's side, you're really, you know, unless you're you have to basically, like, initially when I do the podcast awards, I have to send off a special request several weeks in advance, letting them know that I'm going to be sending as much as 50,000 emails a day. And I have to show them the format of the email, what's the reasoning we're going to be sending so many, and they basically, on a case-by-case basis, have to authorize it. Then, after that period is over, I tell them, okay, the email level has went back to normal, and they set the number of emails that can be sent back to either default of 1,000 or 2,000. Well, most people that have a domain won't even ever send, how many emails do you send in a day, right? You send maybe a dozen, 20, 25 emails, maybe 50. You have a mailing list, maybe send 400 or 500. But the Wild West Domains, I don't know if the policy, obviously it looks like the policy is different for those that are resellers in allowing email to go out. So I'm going to try to find out what's going on with that. But anyway, a couple of the top two here were China companies that are out of China. Number 3 was Network Solutions. And these are, you know, Network Solutions, big company, charge of all the .com domains. Number 4 is, they're the master. 4 is Register.com. 5 is Planet Online. 6 is RegTime Limited. 7 is Online Nick Incorporated. Number 8 is Spot Domain LLC. Number 9, Wild West Domains. And number 10, Hichana Web Solutions. So, a little bit worried here. I don't like to see, they've been very tough. They must have a different policy for people that are resellers. It just blows me away that they would, to be honest with you here. Okay, moving on here. Microsoft has got some pretty cool things going on their website. Have you ever went to the knowledge base on Microsoft? You had a problem with Windows. You go over to Windows.com. You type in the issue, and then they give you like, oh yeah, here's your solution to your problem. They give you 25 steps you got to go through to fix whatever's wrong. We've all seen that at least once. If you're Windows users, you've seen that. You're like, oh my goodness, I got to go through and do all these steps. You know, you load the registry, go to a certain listing, delete something. You know, there's always this convoluted process you have to do to fix a problem. Well, Microsoft says, hey, if we know what the problem is, why don't we put a script on the page that people can just click and say, fix it, fix this problem, and the button will start a script within Windows that you'll authorize, and it'll go in and do those 20 steps. Very, very smart. You know, simple things like restoring a missing Internet Explorer icon, enabling the DVD library, you know, all these little things that people may shut off by mistake and not know how to get turned back on. They've got a little fix-it button now on a number, I guess up to 10% of the articles on the knowledge base at Microsoft. So very, very smart on their part. And I think this will help people out a lot. You know, just make sure you're at Microsoft.com before you click that fix-it button. And make sure you're very assured that the bug that you have is going to get, you know, is related to what they're suggesting you do. And they give you the instructions as well if you want to do it manually. Some people probably feel more comfortable doing it manually. Many of you are using your mobile phones for a variety of processes. You're Twittering online, you're searching the net, you're finding directions, you're listening to music, you're watching videos. But how many of you are reading books with your mobile device? If you go to books.google.com/M and you want to do a Google book search, you can now do that. They've got a mobile version. It'll work real good in the Android phone. Of course, I haven't been able to look at this with an iPhone because I'm here in Japan. But if you go to books.google.com/M, you can do some book search. So if you're looking for, you know, trying to do a little research, or you're somewhere and you're trying to answer a question and maybe can't find it on Wikipedia, or, you know, you're in a trivia question and you're trying to, you know, there's all kinds of uses for Google Book Search. And if you're not using Google Book Search, it's a wealth of information. It really is. So I have that link up, of course, in the show notes. All right, if you are living in, let me look at the area that this happened in. This happened somewhere here in the United States. If you receive a parking ticket that looks a little funny, that maybe it's not going to look like a ticket that you would get from the police department. Maybe you're in a parking lot somewhere, and it says, hey, you've parked here illegally. Go to this website, and we'll give you more information on the fine that's being assessed to you. Well, what they've done here is that this is actually happened in North Dakota. And they took these people to a website, put in a little code, and it said, okay, now click on this button, and we're going to launch install a little image viewer so that you can see that it was your car parked incorrectly or whatever was the issue. And what it does is when you download the software to view the pictures of your vehicle, the program is instead malware. So, you talk about this is going to great extents. You know, someone went into a parking lot, put in a fake parking ticket on a car, and then, wow. And you know, it's local. You know, it's probably some kid looking to get some machines, come up with a little innovative way. But had a number of people fall for this and get their machines infected. So if you're in North Dakota and if you went to a website like this, be fully aware. How many people live in North Dakota? Do we have any listeners of the show that live in North Dakota? I don't think I've ever gotten a voicemail or an email from anyone on the show from North Dakota. If you're from North Dakota and you listen to the podcast, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Of course, we encourage all of our listeners to call in at any time. You're more than welcome to provide feedback on the show. Someone was asking in Ustream, are the books free? What they do in Google Books is they give you excerpts. In other words, you can look at two or three different pages. And I think what they also do is they provide links to the books you can buy. I don't think you can download the whole book. I haven't been over there in a while. But maybe someone can correct me. But it's a great way to find, you know, basically research material and research on different authors and so forth. All right, over on TechCrunch, they're reporting Gmail has added support for multi-pane viewing. And, you know, I love Gmail. You know, I really do. I don't love using Gmail online because I really hate it that and I'm used to using Thunderbird and Outlook. You know, I basically click on the email in one section of the website, and in another pane, the email is shown to me. And I get done, I scan it real quick, boom, I click the next one. And do you guys find when you're using Gmail, you click it, and then the email loads, and then you have to go back and click inbox again, or you have to do it? I hate it. I really, really hate it. So I'm hoping, and I'm looking at the screenshot that they gave here, doesn't show a kind of the multi-pane that I was expecting, but I'm serious. If they will allow the mail to be read like I'm used to having it read by, you know, kind of like an Outlook or Thunderbird style, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? That would really go a long ways for me considering basically using Gmail online more than I am. But to enable the feature, you first have to activate Gmail Labs for your account, then enable multiple inboxes from the list of lab options. And so anyway, this is kind of how that works. And you'll see when you get over to the website and you look at the article that I've linked up to here. But I'm not seeing exactly the screen I was hoping to, but I'm hoping that the multi-pane view allows for you actually reading the email in a separate pane from the one that you clicked on to load it. And that'll go a long way for making things real sweet to use. All right, those knuckleheads over in Congress, and I hate to say it, they are a bunch of knuckleheads. With less than 2 weeks before the expected end of analog broadcasting television, owners received a reprieve on Wednesday. It appears probable that President Obama is going to sign into law, or whatever this thing is, that they're going to have 4 more months to upgrade their old sets before a federal deadline requiring stations to switch to digital TV. Just can't fathom what these folks are thinking about. You know, of course, the broadcasters are screaming bloody murder. Many of them were giving up leases on towers. They're now going to be, many of them are going to have to push both signals, the entire, you know, and their entire spectrum on analog and their entire channel spectrum on digital. I just don't get it. Now, the stimulus package that is, quote-unquote, a stimulus package, I think it's a spending bill. I don't think it's a stimulus package. Yeah, it's going to stimulate those that have stimulated the wallets of congressional reps. $650 million are going to go for coupons to ease the transition. How much do these boxes cost? $40? I understand people that are on a reduced budget are going to have challenges, you know, financial challenges in buying these boxes. But they now have until June 12th. And if Congress gets the stimulus package passed, then they're going to have more money for the coupons, giving the so-called 6 million people that they think are still on intended years without the converter box time to make the switch over. So we'll keep you advised on that. And I apologize if you took my comments wrong earlier about the stimulus package, but I don't get it. I really don't. All right, synchronizing your bookmarks. How many of you use Firefox, use Internet Explorer, use maybe a third browser? How many of you wish that your bookmarks were always synchronized together between all the different browsers that you use and different machines? It is now possible to do that. They've got a good application out there, and for some reason, FeeDemon is slowing me down here. I've got way too much stuff. Uh-oh, that wasn't a good sound. Did you guys hear that in the background? Did something crash? I don't know. Oh, there we go. FeeDemon has countered an error due to low memory. So, I'm killing it here, folks, with having too much stuff running. So I'm going to have to shut something down. And let me try by closing Firefox. Maybe that will help it here. But I'm definitely pushing it a little bit harder than I should. I think what it is I've got the Ustream stream running on the Mac. And the reason I did that was because I forgot to bring my camera for my PC. And this is the older Mac that I have, and basically I'm limited to 2 gigs of RAM in this thing. And that is definitely putting an impact on it. I'm running Parallels, so running when I'm running in this mode, and I have a little bit more, a few more windows open than I should, it doesn't like it too much. So I'm hoping here, come on, Firefox, close. I've asked you to close. You know, that's what I get for trying to push too much at one time here. So you're supposed to be closing. Yes, and now. Go away. Quit bothering me. This may force me not to bring a Mac with me anymore because a PC would never do this to me. So anyway, this synchronizing program is called Foxmarks. So if you want to check that out, and it's an actual application, and so you can keep all of your bookmarks synchronized amongst multiple machines. Moving on into space news, the Spirit rover is really back in action. It's on the move again, and so they had some good luck with getting the rover to continue its progress forward and moving. And they haven't completely figured out what was going on with the glitch that happened, but it is definitely in a position now where they can continue to go ahead and move forward with the mission. Now, one thing that was very interesting in the news today was that the folks over at the RIAA and have been working with the congressional reps to get some new legislation in place that is going to make radio stations not very happy in the simple fact that they are going to be held to the same standard as other digital, as the people that are doing web streaming. Up to this point, the radio stations have only had to pay performance rights to the particular artist, and they have not had to pay to the actual folks that are actually the songwriters, the ones that people actually created the the ones that actually created the songs. Now, sometimes those are the same people, but many times, as far as many professional artists do, is they have someone submit a song to them, and then they agree to record that song. So the creator of the music and the one that actually sing it are different. So the person that's the performing artist is the one that's been getting paid by the radio stations, while the other person hasn't. So there's a it's called the Performance Rights Act. It's been introduced in both the House and the Senate with the goal of forcing U.S. radio stations to start paying. And the labels are pushing hard for this, but radio stations obviously are very upset. So now the shoe moves to the other foot, you see. The folks on the internet that have been doing streaming radio have had to pay this from the very beginning. And now we've got a situation here where, it's going to be equal. It's going to be par. So we'll see how this affects the overall payment rate that these companies are going to have to, these radio stations are going to have to pay if this continues to move forward. And this actually brings up some more interesting news I'm going to talk about here in a little bit about some people that are actually going into the DOJ. And boy, I tell you, this thing is just absolutely complaining. Yes, I know you're out of memory. There's nothing I can do for you except maybe stop the show and continue to move forward. This thing's killing me. I apologize here for running into technical problems during the show. All right, privacy fears over the Google Tracker. You guys heard about this new Google Tracker? It's called Google announced a new feature that allows users to share their locations among a chosen network of friends. It's called a Latitude service. It's an opt-in service that uses data from mobile phone masts, GPSs, or Wi-Fi hardware to update a user's location automatically. And the users can also manually set their advertised location anywhere they like or turn the broadcast off altogether. But privacy advocates are worried that people don't know that this is actually, when you're using Latitude service, it is default setting is to report your location. So be well aware of that, okay? When you're out there, and if you've turned this particular service on and you're using it with your BlackBerry or iPhone, you very well could be tracked where you're going when you may not want people to know where you're at. And this could become a safety concern, especially for women that are out there If you're running into, you know, having this application running, you just, you know, you don't want some people knowing where you're going. It could cause a predator or somebody worse to be, you know, following around where you're going. All right, internet companies, a good article on Tech Dirt. And this is in relationship to what's going on with some announcements by Charter. Charter Communications today announced that they are going to be imposing broadband caps on, in other words, bandwidth caps on all of their tiers of services except for their new high-speed service that they're offering. All the other, I think that's the one that's the 60 gigs per second connectivity option that's available, but they're going to be imposing bandwidth caps. We've already heard today earlier talking about the folks over at Time Warner doing their thing as well. So just be aware that this is forthcoming, and there's not a lot we can do about it right now, except you need to start calling your, you know, either congressional reps, you need to start calling your people that your customer service accounts and complaining. So you need to get on board here and let your ISPs know that you don't like this, okay? Otherwise, it's going to get rammed down your throat, and there's nothing that we can do about it unless we just, you know, start screaming bloody murder. You guys hearing that boom every time? Every time I change tabs, FeedDemon tells me that it's out of memory. And so I apologize for the backfill of the gong going on. All right, well, article we're on Tech Dirt talking about the Justice Department increasingly looking like the RIAA and MPAA's legal team. The new administration is hiring a huge number of people from the RIAA, the MPAA, and the BSA's legal team. It started with them hiring some of the RIAA's favorite. Well, it started off with them hiring the RIAA's favorite lawyer. Then they hired the BSA's anti-piracy enforcer. And now they brought in two more entertainment industry favorite lawyers, including Don Verrilli, who was one of the main guys arguing the entertainment industry side in the famous and terribly decided Gruxer case. And he was also the guy who argued the RIAA's case that was involved in the Jamie Thomas verdict, and how it should not be thrown out. And then there's, you know, we all thought that there would not be this big influx of these types of individuals into the Department of Justice. But so if you, you know, thought what was would happen with McCain was going to be bad, you just look at the lineup that they brought into the DOJ for anti-piracy stuff, and it smells a lot like the RIAA and MPAA by the number of people that have been brought in. So we'll see. Now, there is a note in this article saying that the Obama administration's rules should preclude these guys working on issues related to those that they use to represent. But we'll see if that happens, because they're not supposed to, you know, if they come in, part of the ethics rules that he set up was basically if you come from a specific industry, you're not supposed to work on those specific type of issues in your new post at within the administration to maintain a non-conflict of interest. But only time will tell on this. All right, there continues to be a copyright fight in the picture. We talked about this before. This is the poster of President Obama that was widely spread around during the election. As predicted, the Associated Press is saying that it wants credit and compensation for use of the copyright-protected photo in the creation of Shepard Fairey's widely imitated Hope campaign poster for President Barack Obama. And the Associated Press has determined that the photograph used in the AP photo was belongs to them, and it required permission, which they did not get. The gentleman that actually created the poster is claiming that the image was a fair use. Basically, he basically made some modifications to it, and that it was should be covered under fair use, but AP's not looking that way, so they're going to go after this guy, the AP is, to get some money out of him. So not surprised that this was going to happen, and it has. Okay, let me go ahead here. I am I think I'm done with content. With all my issues I was having with feeding them in here and out of memory, I thought I had a couple of more articles that I was going to talk about, and I don't see where they're at. So it must be I'm pow, or actually, as a Hawaiian say, I'm finished with those particular articles. But I don't know what we've got in email. Let me go ahead and load Thunderbird up here to see what we had. And, of course, this thing doesn't want to cooperate either. And it might be because of that. So let me turn that on. As always, you can send email to geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And we're loading up the email here. You can tell I was really prepared today for today's show. So that's what I get for trying to rush. Looking through some of the Ustream comments here. GT says, Macs have problems, Windows have other problems. Well, you know what, though? One thing I will say about Windows, they do deal with memory issues better. And, of course, it complicates the matter that I'm running Parallels and then trying to run Mac applications at the same time in the underground. And only having 2 megs of memory definitely is a challenge. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to... As you guys have already noticed, I've left in, I'm not going to edit the video from, or the audio from today, and so that you guys on the podcast side can get a laugh of what has essentially happened here. All right, I got an email from Joe, and he says, hey, dear Todd, I renewed my hosting account at GoDaddy.com and decided to pick up another domain while I was at it. Your discount codes allowed me to add a second year to the new domain name without busting my budget. I want you to know that I am extremely pleased with GoDaddy. When my renewals came up at every other hosting service I've ever used, I always asked it was time to find another service. This time it was no-brainer. I didn't even ask. I just renewed, and I have no reservations about doing so. The GoDaddy service is so much more than any other service I've been with, and it's all about the same price or less. Thanks for providing the savings codes, and be sure to thank them for such a great service. Joe, thank you very much. I appreciate your renewal over there. That definitely helps us out here. Joe also sent me an article on a article that we talked about in the show already about the peer-to-peer type stuff that's going on with videos on this being provided by CNN. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you as well. Let me look at the calendar here and see what date I need to go back to. Okay. Got an email from Ron. And Ron is out in Honolulu. He said, hey, Todd, yes, I get these timeouts as well here in Hawaii. I'm on T-Mobile with a HTC wing. They're an annoyance for sure. For me, I think I've noticed that it happens more often during the lunch hour when going to sites that are not optimized for mobile devices. So rest easy. It's not your device. Of course, that means there's nothing you can do about it. So on second thought, you can't rest easy, Ron. And this is in reference to my T-Mobile phone or my T-Mobile account. Running on my iPhone on the Edge network, essentially, I put in a website like Twitter or something that's not real high bandwidth, and basically, it just times out. The connection times out, and it's really frustrating. It really is. There's certain closer I get to downtown Honolulu, seems like the more problems I have. So they definitely have an issue, at least in Hawaii. Bandwidth-wise. Got an email from Bree, and she says, hey, Todd, look closely by clicking on any part of the mural. It's called the Cochrane Mural. Cochrane is northwest of Calgary in east of Banff in the foothills of the Rockies. The mural was unveiled last week at the Cochrane Ranch House. This is no relationship to any of my family, but... She says that each tile is a 1 foot square and has its own individual picture. Each tile is by a different artist. All of them pieced together form this huge mural. You can click on each of the tiles to see them in detail. Check out the horse's eye. Click on, and she gives me the link to this. You guys got to go check this out. I looked at it. Absolutely fascinating. No relationship to my family, but it is a cool mural. And actually, Cochrane is spelled correctly in the... for the first time I've seen in a long time. Of course, I probably understand why. That's someone from Canada that has done it. But anyway, I'll have the link up to this in the show notes. Thanks, Bree, for that. Got an email from Nir, and Nir's in Israel. He said, hey, Todd, take a look at this. India is launching a $10 laptop. Amazing. If it's true and it can really be done. There is some news today, Nir, that I read where... it may not really be a laptop. We will see what the story with that is. I keep my eye peeled, and as I find more information about it, we'll talk about it in a later show. Got an email from Yitz. He said, "Hey, Todd, it's your lucky day, and you're in Japan. DSL reports that Hawaii gets 20 megabits per second cable." What the story is, Yitz, is they've had it for a while, but they've only rolled it out to specific locations. It's on the DOCSIS 2.0 format. It's not 3.0. You know, we're way, way behind on rollout of 3.0. No one has it in Hawaii yet. But as soon as 20 Mbps comes to my house, you can absolutely guarantee that I'll be getting it. But I'm on a waiting list, just like probably 90% of the rest of the island is. So we'll see how the rollout goes. All right, got an email, another email from Yitz to say, "Hey, Skype," and this is in reference to Nir's problem. He says, "Skype released version 4 final this week. Perhaps Nir should upgrade and have the person he's connecting with on the other end do the same." Yes, that's a good idea. Thanks for that. And Nir, make sure you upgrade and see if that fixes it. Got an email from Keith, and I don't know if I've read this one or not. "Todd, Windows 7 does look and feel better than Vista ever did. I have it on an HP tower. It looks good. The only problem I've encountered so far is, number one, being the administrator with full privileges, it will not let me rename a folder or remove a folder. It will not let me remove a program either. So it appears to be a one-shot deal on getting it the way you want it. Once a program is loaded, you own it forever. It's now cast and submit same for any folder. That seems like a bug. Number two, I loaded the latest Trend Micro Antivirus for 2009. It loaded fine. Windows would not let me update the signature file for virus checking. When I went to remove the PC still in, Windows said I, as administrator, did not have sufficient authority to remove it. So now Windows 7 seems to lock out all competition for Windows programs. I like the look of the background. I plan on using it for a picture frame image holder. I plan on using HP with Windows 7s for anything else, just a picture." Keith, I bet you there's a bug there. That just does not seem to me like you should be able to uninstall programs. You should be able to change folder names, move them around, and so forth. Otherwise, people are just going to scream bloody murder. They really, really will. Got an email from Ron. He says, "Hey, several new Samsung phones will be released soon. According to a leaked source, the most interesting one is the S5050 slider. It has a 2.2-inch AMOLED, I guess that's what it is, and some sort of a new LED display, a 3.2-megabit camera with LED flash, FM radio, RDS, and a 50-megabyte internal memory." He gave me a link to that in the show notes. And I got an email from Max on PC versus Mac. That goes into the pool of comments we'll have. And let me see if I've read all the emails here. I get an email from Pablo. He says, "Todd, many thanks for your efforts with the podcast. I live from Boston, but currently living in Bermuda. Many of your references to island life resonate. Can you please send me your snail mail address? I put together a Bermuda calendar. Would like to send you a copy. Take care, and thanks again, Pablo." Pablo, if you go to the About page on Geek News Central, there's a link to my address. Actually, there'll be an address in the About page, okay? I got an email from Cho in Melbourne. He says, "Todd, I know this topic isn't so techy, but I want to know what the majority of Ohana think. I'm not sure which side of the camp you're on." This is in reference to global warming. He says, "Are you on the?" I'm not sure which side of the camp you're on, warming or freezing. But before I saw this video, and it links to a video up at Casio. PiaProject.com, and I have a link up in here. It's titled "Global Warming." I was on the hot side. I always knew that some minority of scientists believe that the rising CO2s will act as a blanket over the Earth and create an ice age, but I was convinced that the rest of the world was believing global warming. This video tried to convince me that the majority of scientists believed in global freezing or even nothing at all. The climate change we experience is merely a natural fluctuation of the Earth's temperature, so please, I want to know what the rest of you think after watching this video. Thanks, Ola. From Cho. I think that, there's so many opinions out there, and obviously we're probably doing things to the environment that we should not. What that impact is, I think is being documented somewhat, but I don't know. It's hard to believe anything when you hear so many differentiating opinions, and there's some people say there's nothing happening at all, and there's some people saying it we're a complete cause. It's a very passionate subject by a lot of people, but I'm sure we're going to get some comments back from folks on the podcast. They'll make their opinions known. And of course, if you have an opinion on the subject, you can send it to geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. All right, folks, I'm done. I'm wrapped up here. And just a little over an hour on the program today. And I want to thank you all for hanging out with the technical glitches and all. And that's what I get for running too many things in Feed Demon, or actually in on the Mac. You know, what it boils down to is when I have a lot of browser windows open or a lot of tabs open with Feed Demon, it does become a bit of a memory pig. And running the streaming and having another browser open as well didn't help matters a bit. So I probably also forgot to shut something down in the actual Mac system, although I'm looking at the status bar and it looks like everything's closed off. But thanks for hanging. I'll be back in Honolulu, probably jet lagged, because I get in Monday morning very, very early. And then I'll do the show in the afternoon, so I'll probably get some sleep and be able to do it. There's a question in Ustream. He says, question, what's the best program to run Windows 7 on a MacBook? VMware, Bootcamp, or Parallels? That's probably a good question for the Ohana. I don't know. I'm not running Windows 7 on the Mac. Maybe I should. I don't know. But maybe we can get a response for the next show. Again, everyone, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Everyone, take care, and domo arigato for hanging out with me today. And until next time, aloha.